is the Go Blue Crew. Hello and welcome into the Go Blue Crew. I'm Tyler Fenwick with Derek Devine. Derek, I'm throwing you a little curveball here, okay?
I'm ready.
I need you to look at your phone.
Man, I just grabbed my Traverse City Whiskey Company Michigan Apple Whiskey. I got to put it. Hold on.
Put it down. Go ahead and grab your phone. I sent you a photo.
Okay, here we go. Looking at my phone.
What do you think?
Wow. Let me describe what I'm looking at here. Brought to you by Fort Fitness. Probably an Indianapolis brand.
Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne, okay. Makes sense. Fort for fitness.
Yeah, I feel like the dots were there.
Yeah, well, you know, you're not always in Fort Wayne, but you know, you are once in a while, obviously.
So what are you seeing?
Number 4202, running a 10K. His name is Tyler. And you look like you're at a finish line.
Yeah.
And you are looking ahead as
to greatness.
Yourself. Like, I am the man. Let's see, I'm trying to see if you have the watch recording. Like, are you recording this workout on the watch? Are you just kind of wearing the watch for...
No, I've got it going.
Got it going? Okay.
How far in are you zoomed?
Oh, I'm like as zoomed in as my phone will let me.
Okay.
So it got a little pixely, but you
what
look
I really
like
want to
a
know...
man who just accomplished great things. Though I will say, you got some Saucony shoes on? Those are Brooks?
Those are Brooks.
Brooks? Get some Brooks shoes and Nike socks. I would recommend you get some Brooks socks. A little
I don't care about that at all.
Oh, okay.
Not one bit.
I've seen a man who just accomplished a 10K in a foggy...
Foggy
misty
is right.
environment. I mean, I can't even see what's... At first, I was like, wow, this photographer
That's
really...
That's a baseball field.
Really blurred out the background. Like, what a shot this is. And then I realized, like, no, you just legitimately cannot see the person in front or behind you. And so what I see is a man alone heading towards the finish line. And I can only assume that means first place.
Bottom line, do I look like a premier athlete?
I would say... This is, yeah. I mean, I would say you look like if Tom Brady were running 10K.
Okay. I don't know what kind of endorsement that is, but thank you.
I mean, it's up to you to decide if Tom Brady is a, you know, premier athlete.
I think so. Oh, I don't know how well he would do it or how good he would look at the end of a 10K. That's basically what it comes down to. We did not come here today to talk about my physique.
Well, you
though.
Won, right? That looks like a winning photo.
Yeah, And straight in here and pointing at my chest, I won.
Okay.
That's very true. We actually, Derek, came here to talk about Michigan football off to a 6-0 start. And before we talk about the things we saw against Minnesota and basically through the first part of the season, it hit me, I don't remember when, if it was during the game or like a couple days before, but this is 6 games in. 6 regular season games left. The season isn't quite halfway over because there's a bye week coming up.
Right.
But, I mean, basically you could say Michigan's regular season is halfway done. How does that make you feel?
It's that time of year where you realize November is around the corner and that means it's the last, you know, month of regular season football. And, you know, you have an early December Big Ten championship, hopefully, if you're Michigan. And then you wait some time for, you know, bowl game season, maybe even a college football playoff. But I think it really starts to hit, you know, September seems like, you know, okay, Michigan football's back. There's kind of these nobodies on the schedule. And you're just excited. And then conference play comes around. Okay, how good are they actually? Because, you know, they haven't played anybody yet. And, you know, many would argue they still haven't played anybody with the conference opponents they've faced in the first 3 conference games. And then, like you said, you know, just the way you presented it or how I, you know, blurted out halfway as you started, like all of a sudden you look and there's only 6 regular season games left. And it feels like things have flown by all of a sudden. You know, there's a lot of hype. We do the preseason predictions. We get super jacked up about Michigan football. You know, we want to see all the questions answered and, before you know it, you're, you know, still the number 2 team in the country, fortunately, And then halfway through the regular season. So, you know, bye week aside, you only got six more games. And as they go, I guess you could say they get harder. So it'll be interesting moving forward. But to think that we're already talking about big picture, you know, halfway through the season, how Michigan looks after six games total and three conference games, a little eerie, I'd say. I mean, it always sneaks up on you.
It really does. You mentioned the schedule getting tougher. That's true overall, though that definitely does not start this week, which we'll talk about later. But I'm going to go a little rapid fire here. J.J. McCarthy, 14-20 for 219 yards and a touchdown. Of course, he also ran for two sort of goal line plays, which were pretty fun to watch. Team-wise, as a whole, I mean, there's nothing to complain about. 5-10 on third down. Let's see, only one penalty. I remember that really stood out because Michigan apparently did not pick up a penalty the game before against Nebraska, if I remember right from the broadcast.
And if I remember what I saw correctly today, I think they're now the least penalized team in the nation.
Oh, I'm sure.
And not the nation, then sixes. At least the Big Ten. But yeah, I mean, keep it on going. There's a lot of things to talk about.
The two pick sixes I mentioned in that context because, I don't know, it just seems like if you're a team who's not committing a bunch of penalties, but you're still able to create havoc, I mean, that's a really fine line to walk. And Michigan did it, at least against Minnesota. Whole game was a breeze, easy going. Maybe you were a little irritated going into halftime with the way Minnesota scored late and kind of a weird, I mean, PJ Fleck had his reasoning for letting the clock run down and then taking that shot at the end zone. Even though it looked a little odd, like you get it coming from his position, but you know, 21-0 in the third quarter and 7-0 in the fourth, nothing to nitpick at. I mean, it's such a good team and I don't even know at this point, like if you're trying to find things, which I think at least I have at points this season, and I've tried to make it constructive. But at a certain point, if you're out here just like, oh, you know, they really need to shore this up or whatever, like maybe you're just a mad, angry, sad person. I mean, I don't know.
I can't find anything to have beef with as a fan. And you have JJ's really bad game against Bowling Green, and he's played, you know, nothing short of extremely satisfactory. Now, does he have the big passing numbers? No. But, you know, he still scored three times, back-to-back games, if not four the game before against Nebraska. He had a big run against Nebraska, the two goal line runs, and, you know, made a pretty slick move on a cut fake out to the defender, you know, lowering his shoulder to get across the goal line. Knows where the ball needs to be, you know, in terms of the pylon, you know, to the point where they've got to review it because they're not sure he got in for sure. And then he's just making, you know, he's just making a lot of great throws. And, you know, he's only had 20 attempts a game ago, still over 200 yards, still got the one touchdown on a beautiful drawn up play. I can't find anything. And I think, you know, maybe the good thing is you've had a schedule that allows you to just, you know, hopefully stay healthy, take care of business and move forward. We'll probably find what the biggest weakness is as the schedule gets tougher, especially in November, or maybe after a bye week, they come out looking rusty against Purdue. But I think it's going to be a while until we can really point at something because outside of, you know, a couple of broken plays and three bad throws in one game for J.J. McCarthy, they're playing pretty flawless football. And, you know, I think a lot of coaches have given credit this year and said, hey, Michigan's a really good team. I think P.J. Fleck has always been a guy who speaks his mind. And, you know, he's played in the Big Ten for a while now, but he called Michigan the best team he's seen in his 11 years as a head coach. And I don't think he's just saying that. I think he truly feels that way, the way Michigan is completely and utterly dominated, you know, even giving up that last second touchdown. You know, Minnesota could do nothing in the third and fourth quarter, and really no team has done anything against Michigan in the third quarter. It's not the same, like, start slow, you know, go off in the second half as a year ago. or was that 2 years ago? I can't even remember now. This is a, hey, we're going to dominate you to the point where essentially none of our starters will play in the fourth quarter. And I think I texted you, like, we were kind of, you know, making the jokes, is 30 points enough? You know, people are kind of freaking out, looking at box scores. I mean, they're beating teams by more and more, and we're in conference play now. And I'm not saying Minnesota is a great team. I don't think Nebraska is a great team, but you'd have to assume that they could, you know, be favorable in a matchup against Michigan's non-conference opponents. And so Michigan seems to be playing better football as, you know, game 4, 5, and 6 have gone by, and they've got two more opportunities for a bye week to, you know, tie the longest Big Ten winning streak that they've had, I think ever, at 19 games. They're at 17 now, 2 games away from tying, a bye week, and then a home matchup against a Purdue team that they're a favorite against to set the record.
I'm glad you mentioned J.J. McCarthy's numbers not being like eye-popping. Obviously, he's played really great this season, just not getting opportunities for the whole game. And I'm curious through 6 games here, because we talked about potential Heisman stuff before the season started, because his name was up in that conversation. I think it probably still is, but I'm looking at odds right now. He's sitting, I'm not going to count all these, but I'm going to say 8 to 10 slots down, along with Blake Corum. He's plus 3,000. Corum, I'm seeing here, is plus 4,000 to win the Heisman. The names up top are the ones you'd expect. Michael Penix Jr., ironically, you know, the Indiana transfer. Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, I'd say those are a clear, like, class of their own, top three. Jaden Daniels at LSU has played so well. The problem is he plays for LSU, which in the end may help him a little bit as they get into more and more shootouts and his stats can potentially get more and more impressive. But through 6 games, are you seeing enough just in the stats column? I mean, I know, like, you watch the games and he's very good, but is he going to have enough opportunities and, like, a big enough box score stat line toward the end of the season to get into that, like, top tier discussion for the Heisman Trophy?
Stat wise, I really don't think so. He's not going to.
And does he get in without the big stats?
I think he can get in without the big stats. I think there's no question about that. ESPN had an article. I'm trying to think of who it was now. Bill Connolly, I think, using the SP plus rankings, you know, basically saying that if you were to play full games or Michigan were to need him to throw, similar to how Caleb Williams, you know, took 3 overtimes to beat Arizona. At home,
that's,
by the way,
embarrassing.
Yeah, of course, Caleb Williams is gonna. He didn't even have a great night throwing the ball, but he had 3 rushing touchdowns. So, you know, add some stats for a guy who's gonna be playing through 2 overtimes and then, you know, ran it in himself on an extra point conversion in that third, or 2-point conversion in the third overtime. You know, Michael Penix, the first half he had against Michigan State alone, you know, they just threw the ball that whole half. Michigan has, you know, a running back that they're not only going to feed often, but they're going to feed around the goal line. So the touchdown number, though I think it's still possible that he breaks the Michigan single season record, is 25. And you compare that to some of Ohio State quarterback numbers in the past several years. I mean, they're up in the 50s some years, literally doubling Michigan's amount of passing touchdowns. And so stats-wise, no, but I don't see how he's not earning an invite if Michigan, you know, one, is undefeated at the end of the year, and two, he continues to play as well as he is, because in terms of QBR and, you know, the big stats they look at a quarterback, though he doesn't have as many, you know, attempts or completions as other guys, his numbers are right there with other guys, if not better. So I think that he is a Heisman caliber quarterback. I thought Jim Harbaugh, you know, said some awesome things about him after the game. And I think when he followed up Monday in a press conference, you know, he said he watched USC on the way home and said, you know, that guy's really good too. Like, and so now he's kind of, he took it like, I think we've got the best quarterback. And now he's saying we have the best quarterback in our minds and we have the guy that we want. But yeah, Caleb Williams is like legit. And so, yeah, I mean, I think he's right up there. I think he is trending in a way that's going to allow him to likely be a top quarterback off the board, shall he choose to enter the NFL draft, which wouldn't be a surprise. And Yeah, I mean, I think he's got all the tools, and on a throw-heavy team, I think his numbers could probably be outrageous. Or if Michigan had played opponents where he needed to even play a fourth quarter, his numbers would obviously be even better.
I think one good thing to remember or keep in mind is that it seems like the Heisman is one of those awards where you can kind of linger, and then a big, even just one big performance late catapults you. And he's going to have a couple opportunities in two of the last 3 weeks of the season on the road at Penn State and then Ohio State at home.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a even big, Maryland, big spotlight. A trap game, right?
That's true. At Maryland.
At Maryland, and you play against another veteran quarterback who's not in the Heisman talk, but, you know, well-respected quarterback in the Big Ten. If you look like the better quarterback against a young budding star at Penn State, a veteran quarterback at Maryland, and then you find a way to beat Ohio State, even though you're already probably the better quarterback easily in that matchup, you're going to catapult near the top. It's hard for guys to go back-to-back. Caleb Williams has a shot, but, I mean, that team can't play any defense. At some point, you favor who gets the wins, and I think that's the LSU problem. I mean, LSU has got a tough schedule per, you know, usual in the SEC, and, you know, sometimes you just don't rack up enough wins to have a spot. But the one thing that was jarring that I saw when I read this article, or at least read a snippet of the article, not only first in QBR, but averaging almost 10 yards, 9.9 per dropback, and 9.1 yards per carry. I mean, those feel, you know, in a lot of ways like video game numbers. And again, he hasn't had to do either of those things as often as, you know, more than half the quarterbacks in the country, because he has such a good run game that Michigan can rely on. He has a defense that in one game, like we alluded to, scored 2 touchdowns. Yeah, you don't really need J.J. McCarthy to put up numbers to win ball games, at least so far.
I mentioned Michael Penix Jr., who's going to be on one of those big-time showcase spotlights. Washington's hosting Oregon 3:30 on Saturday, the marquee matchup of the day. Though I will ask you to perhaps just pay attention to Ohio State traveling to Purdue. Purdue, not a good team. They don't have like those highlight makers at wide receiver like they have in the past, in the recent past. But that's a noon game on Peacock. And I'm just saying, if Michigan, Indiana, if it's in hand, never flip away from a Michigan game. But you can get that up on the second screen, the laptop, whatever. Maybe just one to pay attention to. Ohio State, not great memories in West Lafayette. Going to the night games, Derek. Notre Dame playing, I believe it's 18th game in a row in prime time against a ranked opponent. They're going to host USC. Also, Miami going to North Carolina. And did you watch Miami's absolute meltdown?
I almost interrupted. You had said something about PJ Flex clock management. I almost just interrupted you and said,
Mario Cristobal.
What about Miami? That might be...
I can't think of a worse blunder, a coaching blunder.
I mean, I can think of a... You know, an end of a game that hits close to home that didn't go the way you wanted it to.
But that's not a coaching blunder.
Right, not a coaching blunder. This was just absolutely a boneheaded decision or lack of decision. And honestly, you know, and I think I saw some comments, you know, that's a type of, you know, pack your bags and go type of decision. Or lack thereof, however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
And I just don't see... I think the two games you mentioned, I think Notre Dame against USC and Miami against North Carolina. I mean, Miami, you could pack it up and that's the season. You know, you have to find a way to beat an undefeated, nearly top 10 North Carolina team after about the worst blunder ever. And then Notre Dame, you've gone from, you know, college football playoff contender to now you've got 2 losses. And yes, you know, they're losing to good teams. Ranked teams like Louisville that are hot, you know, now ranked top 15, undefeated, you know, kind of a surprise to.
Yeah, shout out Jeff Brohm.
I mean, Jeff Brohm is the reason why, you know, you mentioned Ohio State at Purdue, and Ohio State's lost to a bad Purdue team on the road at Purdue, but, you know, those are Jeff Brohm teams. Jeff Brohm is obviously a very good football coach and seemingly has made a great decision to to join the ACC. But yeah, I'm curious to see, you know, what can USC do against a really good defense? They don't have a good defense. That's been clear all season. And then can Notre Dame, you know, get a signature win to kind of stay in the mix? You know, a two-loss team is going to be hard to get into the playoff, but moving forward, a two-loss team is going to have a shot. So can they kind of save the season and win out from here in a tough schedule? And again, at Miami, that just feels like such a loss where it's like, that's it. Like, there's no way you can rebound and be a playoff-caliber team, in my opinion. When you lose a game like that, that's just insane.
Here's the case for a two-loss Notre Dame, like looking way ahead. You'll have wins at Duke, which hopefully still looks good. You'll have a three-point loss at the gun to Ohio State and a pretty lopsided got away from you late game against Louisville. Otherwise, you know, let's assume you beat USC. Okay, that's a pretty good win. And then you're going to go on the road and play Clemson. That would be a good win. I understand, like, this ain't the Clemson of, like, 2018 or whatever, but that's going to look like a quality win. It's not great on the schedule the rest of the way outside of that, but I think that's, you know, there's a path maybe for a two-loss Notre Dame because of the strength of their schedule. And then hopefully when we look back, I mean, for Notre Dame fans, which my household counts among them, strength of record at the end of the season, you'll say, you know what, that's like a good, really good two-loss team. So that's, I think, the path forward for Notre Dame.
Yeah, there's a lot of games, top 25s that, you know, spreads are wild, and that includes Michigan, you know, 33.5-point favorite. I don't think you see that spread unless Michigan's played the way they have in the last two. I mean, again, talking Michigan and Minnesota, 52 points, and we both predicted in the 30s because they just hadn't, you know, really found successful ways to break out higher than that, especially when you can almost guarantee in a game that's turning into a blowout that, you know, guys like J.J. McCarthy, Blake Corum, not going to play. You know, defensive starters not going to play late. But you've got Georgia heavy favorites, Michigan heavy favorite, Ohio State heavy favorite, Florida State heavy favorite, and all of a sudden your top four don't seem like they have matchups that will be anywhat of a problem. But you know, the goal is to just continue to win games, take care of business, and stay healthy, and that's what Michigan will look to do this weekend.
Last question for you, Derek, before we get on to like a score prediction, I guess, for Indiana. Are you staying up? Are you watching San Diego State at Hawaii? That's an 11 p.m. kickoff, CBS Sports Network.
Hey, I missed. So I was traveling at the in-laws for Colorado State, and because I had to get up and drive, you know, the 250 miles home, I didn't stay up. Lord. I did stay up for USC Arizona. It was a 10:30 kick, went into triple overtime, and yeah, ended at 2:30. So I think I'm probably good this weekend. I think with North Carolina, Miami, and likely the game I'll be watching, Notre Dame, USC. I think I'm good with that game that probably ends, you know, between 11 and midnight. And, you know, I might, you know, scroll on the old Twitter X platform for a while, see what people are still saying about hopefully a Michigan blowout win. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pass on the 11 p.m. kick. What about you?
Okay. No, I probably won't. I might watch it kick off, but I don't know.
I mean, I don't know that it kicks off before, or I think it kicks off before, you know, the game you're likely to watch is over.
What'll carry me into that, though, is perhaps UCLA at Oregon State, which is an 8 p.m. kick. Yep. So that's 3 hours. Fair. I don't know.
Also a ranked game, and not two teams you think of as, like, contenders, but, you know, teams are within the top 20 and you know, have playmakers, so.
No Friday night Big Ten matchup this week. Okay, Indiana. I've talked about Michael Penix Jr. Man, would they like to have him back. Things are not looking good for the Hoosiers. They have lost to Louisville. That was a 21-14 game. Barely beat Akron, 29-27. They lost to Maryland last week. Lost to Ohio State, first game of the season. Their only other win is against Indiana State. So it's not great times in Bloomington. And you wonder if Tom Allen like is going to be the coach next season. He's popular. I'll give him that. Like people like him, but
and I think he'll like, find. I mean, they're going to look and say it's Indiana, and he had one good year. Was it during or after the pandemic? During
the 2020.
I think he's got enough great things about him, and enough players would say great things about him. If it doesn't work out at Indiana, I think he finds a decent job.
A defensive coordinator before. I think that's still there for him. Probably.
Yeah, that's definitely still there for him. It may be more likely at first, but I mean, that's one of those things, you know, we talked about, you know, I think you might've predicted an Indiana loss in 2021, Michigan losing to Indiana, or at least it was close.
I probably did.
I think you called them a top three Big Ten team.
Holy God, did I?
I think you did that too.
Maybe we'll roll
but
the
all that
sometime.
To say, not quite the Bo Pelini experience because they're actually truly bad. But, you know, how many coaches out there are going to be better for that program? And how much of it is the fact that they play in the East? And as long as the East exists, I mean, it's not going to get any easier. And so I don't know that you know, Michigan State is coachless and they're going after a big dog apparently because they feel like they've got the money, the resources, and the history to do it. You know, Indiana can't say as much. And so when you have a really good, well-liked football coach, I would hate to see him move on from him. I mean that in all honesty. I think that he is good for Indiana, and you know, it's just a matter of they're playing some big dogs in the Big Ten. All that to say, yeah, I don't think they have a shot. I think Michigan returning to home will feel really good after 2 weeks on the road. The weather is apparently going to be terrible. We've got a kind of a family reunion, a lot of people from out of state coming in, all the fellas, I think 15 of us group tickets to this game, noon game. So that kind of already changes and makes challenges for the tailgating plans. But last I heard and saw, it's like 50 and rain. So I think that's going to affect my score prediction. I'm going to go 41-7. It's enough to cover.
Okay.
But I just, you know, I think they can get to the 40s, but it could easily be one of those games where either starters are pulled even quicker or the weather just sucks and it's just, let's run the ball and get out of here. So I'm gonna go 40-plus because the way Michigan's playing has been impressive. And I'll spot Indiana a late game touchdown or, you know, maybe it's an early fluke play, but yeah, I got a Michigan big win.
Give me 45-3.
Yeah, both of us like hit Indiana's the over offense. Under there.
I do not like Indiana's offense. I don't know. This might be a little bit of a bloodbath game, and I don't think Indiana fans like have super high hopes. Even coming off of a bye week, you're replacing an offensive coordinator in the middle of the season. That's never good. I don't see the path to a competitive game here. I'm not even talking about like a win or anything, you know, like that. I don't see a competitive game here.
I mean, this is a team that four overtimes, Akron.
Yeah, that's not good.
Get blown out by Maryland, though it was on the road, you know, not be able to. I mean, Ohio State, who I would say, at least at the beginning of the year, I'm not going to say Michigan's way better than Ohio State right now. There's a lot of season to be played out, but that's the first game of the season, right? Ohio State didn't look that good. They still won 23-3. I mean, you've got to think the you know, score is worse than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a question for you. One last thing before we go. Is Blake Corum going to eclipse 100 yards? I think he's only done it once this season.
Yeah, I'm going to go with yes.
Okay.
And I think you're right. I think he's had plenty of games where he has not. And again, you haven't really needed him to.
No.
You know, he's gotten, you know, I was at the UNLV game where my buddy put money on 81 yards. He had 80. I think at Rutgers, he was a few yards short because I think that bet was 100 yards.
You said short.
I did say short. You know, Minnesota, he just didn't need to do anything. I mean, it's 52-10. I don't even know if he had 10 carries. He probably didn't. I really can't think of, like, if I look back, he had one big run against Minnesota. I don't even remember him getting the ball more than two, three other times. I wouldn't be surprised if Leon Franklin had more carries. I mean, he had a touchdown.
Okay. Some bold predictions there. I'm trying to find a way to work in the word sharp in my clothes, but I can't. So that's me acknowledging again that that slipped out.
Oh, we forgot our segment. How
I haven't
terrible.
Stopped laughing.
We forgot our segment.
Oh, yeah. Run it really quick.
I'll be disappointed if Donovan Edwards gets less carries than Khalil Mullings.
That's a really good one. And rather than trying to think of something else on the spot, let me join in your hypothetical.
Yeah, that's super fair. You know, I think it's a couple of games ago, you kind of wondered, you know, a lot of good comments about Khalil Mullings, and I think he's played outstanding. He had a big touchdown against Nebraska, and I think it was this last game, one or two possessions in, I think it was my dad that texted me, and I noticed it too, like, have you seen Donovan Edwards yet? Because you had seen Khalil Mullings. And so all four, you know, whoever the coaches think is in there, whoever they think should be in there is in there. But I would like to see, you know, we keep hearing like, you know, Donovan Edwards is due for a big game. You know, we're going to get him the rock. Like, I'd like to see it. I think this would be a very, very run heavy game. And it shouldn't be no problem for Michigan to have multiple backs eclipse the 100 yard mark.
I agree. Watching Donovan Edwards with the ball in his hands is a piece of shart. So we'll get back next week and hopefully break down a Michigan big win, as in lopsided, not because it means much over Indiana. And then getting ready for a trip to Michigan State. A lot of fun. So we'll see you next week. Take care out there. Go Blue.
Go Blue.